Come on, we're in the Lord's house. We're serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our God is not a sit-down God. But we come to the house tonight not to be a spectacle, but to worship the mighty King of Kings. So we're going to try it again. Praise the Lord, church. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Hallelujah. Come on, we're going to let our praise be our testimony this evening. Come on, sing it. I believe.
God's been good to me. Through every test and trial, I've got victory.
Come on, the enemy.
The enemy has tried his best to make me turn around, bring me down.
But my God. The enemy is trying to make me turn around. But my God has never failed me. No matter what comes
my way,
I'll lift my
voice.
Say hallelujah. Come on, God. Come on, I'm a testify.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Anyhow. God. has he been good to you? Hallelujah. Do we serve a mighty good God? Hallelujah. Oh, I bless his name tonight. He's worthy of praise. Hallelujah.
Come on, if you think he's worthy, somebody give him a little dance tonight. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, glory to God. Isn't God good? In the middle of all the trouble, God's good. He's a good God. Praise God. We've been all over the map tonight. I love the presence of God that I feel in his house. Is anybody able to say I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now? I'm glad I came. I'm glad they let me in. I'm glad it worked out the way it did. I'm glad to be living for God tonight. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to continue tonight in the 119th Psalm. We began these two sections, 41 and 49, on Wednesday evening. And we're going to continue in that vein tonight. And we'll just lift a couple of verses out of the Zane section here. And let's read verse 49. And would you say, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me. Verse 52, I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. And verse 54, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's offer up praise and thanks to God tonight. We magnify you, Lord. We bless your name. We lift you up. You're worthy. We thank you for your word forever settled in the heavens. And we praise you for it. Praise God. This morning we continued with Wednesday night's treatment of the verses 41 through 48, and I can't go back and review in order to reestablish, simply to say the impact of the word of God in your life and the potential and promise and the blessing of God is contingent upon your relationship with the word of God. It doesn't do you any good that mama knew it or daddy had it or that it sits on a shelf in your house somewhere, but somewhere we've got to have a relationship with the word of God ourselves. Our degree of esteem or regard or respect for the word of God is a direct impact upon how much of the word of God is going to come to pass in my life. Praise God. So I want to have a relationship with the word of God, living and vibrant and powerful. Praise God. Because I haven't found anything in this life that promises what the word of God promises to me. And I've already set my eye on that. I've already made up my mind that I'm going to make heaven my home. I've already made up my mind that this world is not going to be my end game nor my destiny. I'm just passing through this place. And the word of God is the process by which I'm going to please God and live forever with God. So if I'm going to acquire the promise and the blessing of the word of God, then I've got to have a relationship with the word of God. If I'm going to have faith in my life, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I acquire the capacity to hear God by handling his word. Praise God. Praise God. The word of God and prayer are the dynamics that create in my life a culture of communication with God. How I hear from him and how he directs me, and if I will hear from him, and if He will direct me. I don't know about you. Is there anybody in the house that feels the need to hear from God? You need direction in your life. You want God's input and God's feedback concerning your life and your choices and your children and your household and your destiny. Praise God. I want to hear from God. This morning we talked about the fact that the word of God in the mouth of a man has the power to raise up a valley full of dry bones and make it a great army standing upon its feet. Praise God. And in the rubble of your life, as the rubble of the temple in Jerusalem, if you will, by step at a time, by brick at a time, by board at a time, begin to rebuild the constructs of God in your life. I just mean get up and go to the house of God. Get up and go to that place of prayer. Take your flesh and say, we are going to rebuild the things of God in our lives. As we talked about in the days of revival in Judah and in Israel, a king sent a decree and said, let's rebuild the temple. And as they were remodeling and rebuilding the temple in that place that had been lying waste for so long, they found the word of God. And as you begin to rebuild the structures, how do I get back to where I was? You just brick by brick and board by board begin to rebuild the construct of where you last knew God and where you last walked with God. You'll find the word of God in the temple. Somebody say praise God. So the word of God and my relationship with the word is dependent upon my approach and my proactive approach to the word. And it won't do me a bit of good just lying on the table or sitting in a closet somewhere. But I've got to have it alive and powerful in my life. And look at your neighbor and tell them the power of life and death is in your tongue. We talked about the 12 spies, and 10 of them wandered in the wilderness and died a miserable death, separated from the promise of God because of what came out of their mouth. And 2, Joshua and Caleb, entered into promise, laid claim to the land, and walked in the power and the promise of God because of what came out of their mouth. You say it's as simple as that? If you'll get on board with God and begin to say what God has said, if you'll let your voice be the mouthpiece of God, if you'll cause your life to be an oracle of God, God's able to lay his hand on you in that place, and God's able to take you over into promise. Praise God. But if you get on board with this world and all the negative and everything it has to say and its cynicism and its skeptical heart and the way that it loves to tear down, the operative term of the word of God is edify, edify, edify. Paul said, if it's not worth edifying, if it doesn't lift up my brother or my sister, then don't say it. Just don't say it. And so we see the power of life and death is in the tongue. I've got to get a relationship with God where this word is coming out of my life. I've got to hide it in my heart. We've got a cyclical a relationship between mouth and heart. And what is in my heart comes out my mouth. And ultimately, what comes out of my mouth enough will ultimately find its way into my heart. So if I want to change that, it doesn't matter if I came out of a negative culture. It doesn't matter if I came out of a cynical household. It doesn't matter if I've been that way all my life. If I'll begin to open my mouth and put on Christ and begin to say the right things, ultimately my heart will fill up with those good things and I'll become what I'm saying because it's the word of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. I want to have a relationship with this word. It's got life in it. I want to have a relationship with this word. It's got hope in it. You come on and tell me if you found something else outside this that's got hope. You tell me if there's something else that you've encountered on the job or in the world or at the university that has the power to transform your life and to give you a destiny with God forever. There's nothing else. Verse 45, we dealt this morning with the fact that my liberty is rooted in the word of God. If you want to maintain your liberty, you don't excuse yourself from the presence of God or detach yourself from the word of God, but you get involved in the word of God. Praise God. Praise God. This word of God has the power to grant you liberty that the world will only take away from you. God gives you potential and possibilities and wonderful opportunities. The world takes away those things from your life. Law, and we hear it, it's a hue and cry of the religious world today. They don't like law. They don't like rule. They don't like statute. They don't like commandment. But that is what God brings to you, because I'm lost and he's going to tell me how to be found. I'm blind. He's going to tell me how to see. I'm cold. He's going to tell me how to get warmth. I'm hungry. He's going to show me how to find food. My God, he wants to be my shepherd. He wants to be my friend. He wants to be the lily of the valley. He wants to be the bride and the morning star. But I've got to get on board with this process. I've got to live by and love the word of God. I've got to put it down in my heart. Cause it to be continually coming out of my mouth. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. I want to walk in liberty, and the world is backward because the world will tell you that church wants to take away your liberty. You go out of, and it's so funny. I don't want to live that holiness stuff. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to walk like that because it's too confining. It's too controlling. But you go out in the world and they'll make you put a ring in your navel.
And something in your eyebrow.
And they'll wreck your marriage. And they'll ruin your dreams. And they'll steal your youth. And they'll wreck your life before you're 20. That sounds like liberty to me. Now, liberty to me sounds like living for God in righteousness and holiness, standing before God, God being pleased with you, pouring out blessings on your life. I've just got to tell you, I've found God's way to be the best way. I've been on the other side, and I've walked with a lot of people that have been on either side, and some were straddling the fence. But I always found that God's ways are better. God's ways are represented by the word of God. You can't find God anywhere else. You can't find God anywhere else. You got to find him in his word. You can't do business with God anywhere else. You've got to do business with him by his word. Praise God. Praise God. Here in the beginning of a year, if we sound like we're beating the drum for the primary causes of the kingdom of God, first notably the word of God, it's because we are. We're beating the drum and we're saying, this has got to be a word-based church. This has got to be a church that loves the word of God. This has got to be a church that adheres to the word of God. This has got to be a church. If we're going to be a church of revival, we've got to be a word-oriented church. If we're going to be a church of victory, if you're going to walk with the power of God in your life and you're going to be an overcomer in the kingdom, we've got to walk it by the word of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm gonna give you a little advertisement here and a little forewarning. There's a resolution that came to the floor of the United Pentecostal Church this past fall. And it wasn't voted on because they were a little bit leery of how it would turn out. So when politically minded people run into something they're leery of, they table it and put it to committee. And committees are dangerous things. Mindless, useless things. But anyway, they tabled it and sent it to committee. It'll come up this year. And it is a resolution as to whether or not the United Pentecostal Church should allow our churches to advertise and broadcast services on television. Now, for one, she might say, we'll reach the masses. For another, she might say, I've been wanting a television. Now I can watch our services on. Oh, it's only just to watch services on. And you'll get a lot of different opinions. But long ago and far away, the wise apostolic elders, when television was harmless, but it was the camel's nose inside the tent of our culture, little did they know, other than by instinct and the Holy Ghost, little did they know that television would become the most powerful communicator of values in our culture, and that it would it would almost singly become the unit by which the enemy eroded and undermined the godly awareness of our culture and took it down a primrose path toward moral and spiritual destruction. Used to be a difference between city and country, folks. No more, because country goes to town when they turn on the knob. And you'll find, way off in the country, I was driving down the road in Clay the other day, and I told you about this. I saw some boys that just looked like they should have been on the street in San Francisco, but they were in Clay. Something really bad wrong with the picture. I mean, they're walking by the Piggly Wiggly. You're supposed to be at Haight-Ashbury or something like that when you look like that, but not at Piggly Wiggly. How did that happen? Communication of culture. Cultural mores and values being transferred across vast areas and tracts of land and into population areas. And so our culture becomes more or less homogenized into a godless culture. But there's a holdout. There's these wild-eyed, one-God, apostolic, tongue-talking Pentecostal people. And they said, no, thank you. We'll have the word of God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I won't watch adultery. Thou shalt not kill. I won't watch folks killing one another. Thou shalt not. I can't watch it or enjoy that happening. I remember sitting in an ACE, an accelerated Christian education meeting one time with our school group. And it was mostly Baptist folks there, Sister Shirley. And we were their token Pentecostals in the house. But one gentleman who was an excellent teacher, a doctor of education, excellent teacher. He was doing a presentation. And in the middle of it, he began to talk about why he didn't have a television in his home. Just a good Baptist fella. But he said, I watched it. I controlled it. I kept it down to this and that and the other, and I only watched the news and the sports. That's all I did. But he had a little four-year-old girl that walked in one day while he was watching a football game, and she said, ooh, Daddy, those ladies don't have clothes on. She covered his eyes because she knew men weren't supposed to be looking at ladies that didn't have clothes on. So she covered up his eyes. He said, that day, I unplugged it. That day, it left my house. That day, I knew. And isn't it interesting? They're being converted, and they're coming close by the influence of the word of God in their lives. I want to give you a news flash. There are hungry people all over this country. And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, and the closer we get to the last part of this book, we're going to see our culture slide further and further toward Sodom and Gomorrah. But as it does, hungry people in every type of culture, hungry people in every class and denomination, they're going to be looking for something that's real and something that's biblical. And guess who the last man standing is going to be? They all used to teach holiness, but guess who the last man standing is about to be? I'm telling you, this apostolic church is about the last place a person's ever going to find real, genuine, biblical holiness anymore. But isn't it interesting that the last man standing is also the last man standing with the knowledge of the name and with the Holy Ghost and with the truth of God and the Acts 2:38 message? Isn't it interesting how God is drawing the parameters very cleanly and very clearly? If you want to live for God, you're going to have to make your way to an apostolic church. If you want a biblical experience, you're going to have to find yourself an apostolic pulpit. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, just wanted to wave a flag at you. Better part of a year from now, in the fall, that resolution is going to come up again. And I'll just tell you, I'm already talking to some brethren. I've already been to some meetings. And I heard old brother Johnny Godare, who has built a powerful work in Durham, North Carolina, one of our first churches to run over 1,000, powerful, solid, conservative. And he said, in 1966, he said, I left the ALJC when they voted to allow televisions. He said, I left them. He was their national youth president. He thought about it. He went home. He prayed about it. He wrote them a nice letter. I love you, brethren. I love the gospel that you preach, but I think you're making a big mistake. And he sent him his card. And he came on over and joined the United Pentecostal Church. And he didn't say it, but the implication was very, very clear. He was saying, I left one, I can leave another. How many of you sat at ARC last year and heard our general superintendent preach on Wednesday night to our ARC crowd? And more or less, he said, I don't want to be the captain of a sinking ship. I'm just going to tell you, the dance may get interesting next fall. But if it does, I want to just tell you right up front, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, and I'm going to tell you what my heart is for this church. As soon as that is voted in, that will be the camel's nose. If you think it's the ticket to revival, all you have to do is just go and research apostolic churches that began to have televisions in their church and have their broadcasts on television. Go check out Kenneth Phillips. Go check out some of these others that left in the late 60s, early 70s. And you'll find that their growth has not matched some of these, like the Valley churches over in California, has not transcended the growth patterns of the churches in like Brother Cornwell in Wichita, or Brother Godare in Durham, North Carolina, in those areas. They haven't had explosive growth, because this gospel, it's almost like it has to be hands-on. You can't quite get this communicated to you over a television set. You've got to be in this atmosphere. You've got to. Can somebody hear it that way? I think they could, but I don't ever want to stand in front of this church and say it's a tacit approval on my part that you go and get yourself a television, because we as an organization are allowing our broadcast to be on television. Praise God. So we'll have a formal business meeting come there. You know, we don't have a lot of formal business meetings. You notice that? But we'll have a formal business meeting about that. I'll let you know it's coming 10 days in advance, 3 services ahead, just like the book says. And we'll use Robert's Rules of Orders. And what I'll do is I'll tell you, we're not going to be a part of an organization that's going to allow televisions and put their stamp of approval on it. Not going to do it. I just want to warn you ahead of time. Well, where will we go? I don't care. Well, who will we be a part of? I just know whose side I'm on. And I believe it's going to be all right. And if the vote's not 100%, I'm going to be hacked off. I'm just going to tell you ahead of time. You say, isn't this democratic? Well, main reason I'd have that meeting is just to hear you stand to your feet and say, no, don't want to be a part of that. Don't think it's a good idea. I'd rather stand with the word of God. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. All you got to do is back off and look at the trends. It's already been developed. It's already been researched for you by those that left it long ago. You want to track those that left holiness? Go check out your local Church of God. You want to track those that left holiness? Go check out your local Assembly of God. What do they have? They have a souped up Baptist church. They don't have holiness anymore. And they don't have an outpouring of the Holy Ghost anymore. Why? Because all of those things are connected. You lose your holiness, you're going to lose your fervor for God. You lose your holiness, you're going to lose your knowledge of the Word of God. Well, praise God. I have just swerved all over the place here tonight. Didn't really mean to say any of that. But I'm just talking about the Word. I'm glad to see young people on their feet saying, yes, let's do it right. Let's do it biblically. Let me tell you something right now. If you're going squirrely on holiness and you're moving sideways on a commitment in the kingdom of God, you have no idea how long a shadow you're going to cast over your children and your grandchildren. You can't get this back in a heartbeat. You can decide to come back, but it's going to be a tough road for those that have followed you. My God, stay with the word of God. Come on, church, let's have revival. Come on, church, let's live for God. Come on, let's be an apostolic church. What do you say? What do you say? What do you say? Choose you this day. Choose the word of God. My God. Well, praise the Lord. You ought not mention other people's names in church. I don't care about being politically correct. I just don't care about it. I tell you what, if you think I'm hard on that crowd, you dig up some of those old AG preachers and old Church of God preachers and turn them loose in some Church of God forums and AG forums tonight. I tell you, they'd wreck the house. They'd be worse than Jesus with the scourge of cords. My goodness, you bring forward some of those old-time preachers from the 50s and 60s and turn them loose in some of these modernized charismatic excuses for holiness, Pentecostal churches in some of those areas. They would tear the house down. Praise God. I'm nice. Those are some hard old men. Praise God. They believed in the word of God. Oh, my goodness. I can't imagine them walking up in the middle of a service full of people having a choir on deck, look like the world, look like they don't have any idea, don't look at all like they've ever been close to a generation near a holiness message. Those old-timers would turn the house upside down. What happened? They started going sideways on the word of God. They started going sideways. They wanted to look like their world. They wanted to live like their world. You know what they lost? They lost the anointing. They lost the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The same thing had happened here. All you got to do is research those that have already done it. I've come to the conclusion. Let's see this thing to the end. Let's stand firm in the word of God. If you want to do anything, get more radical about it. If you want to do anything, step off into it where nobody's been before. But don't back up. Don't back off. Praise God. Praise God. I don't even know where I am. Verse 46. Everybody say, I'll speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Somebody say, I'm not ashamed. Not ashamed on the job. I'm not ashamed in my neighborhood. I don't care if they see me walking and praying. I don't care if they hear me talking about it at my school. I don't care what they think about me. I care what he thinks about me. I'm not ashamed of this. Shake your neighbor's hand. Tell them you're a holy roller and you're not ashamed. My God, shake somebody's hand. Tell them I believe the word of God and I'm not ashamed. Tell somebody I'm going to live it. I'm going to walk it. I'm going to talk about it. And I'm not ashamed. My God. God needs somebody in Birmingham that's like Daniel. Daniel, you would have never read about Daniel. You would have never known about Daniel. But he stood up in the presence of the king and said, I won't eat the king's meat. I'm not ashamed in the presence of the king. You'd have never read about the Hebrew 3, but they stood in the valley of Durham like mighty oaks. And they said, we won't bow. We won't bend. We won't break. And God said, they're not going to burn either. The king called them in, but they said, we are not careful to answer you in this. Oh, king. They were polite. They were courteous. But they were God's people. God needs somebody. God needs a young person. God needs a young married couple. God needs some elders. God needs some grandparents that'll stand up in the middle of the Word of God and say, as they've lived it before, so shall I live it in my generation. My generation needs a witness, and I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I don't care what they think. A few weeks ago, I told about Brother Bird and his final interview with his dean of students at UAB. But it turned out good because he wasn't ashamed. He wasn't ashamed to say, I got the Holy Ghost. I got baptized in Jesus' name. And the man cleared off his desk and said, I've got the Holy Ghost too. And they prayed for the rest of that meeting. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Get your head up. Square back your shoulders. My God, don't you let the devil tell you that you are something less than a child of God. Sister Corey was just telling me, I wish Sister Tatiana was here tonight. I'm going to get her about it Tuesday night. She hadn't told me about that. But she had lunch with three ex-governors this week. A governor, the governor, and two ex-governors. Well, how did that happen? Well, she's on the staff at Samford. And she's in charge of a very mysterious place there called the Office of Institutional Effectiveness. And I tell her it sounds like a front for the KGB. But God has laid his hand on her. And she worked in an office in Wisconsin with a lady that was an apostolic. And she worked her way through school. And she caused herself to stand in a place of responsibility and authority. And she, when she was getting a transfer to Birmingham, she knew Samford was a Christian university. And they didn't have Christianity like we know it over there where she came from. And so she began to ask this woman to tell her about Christianity. Happened to be an apostolic. Brother and Sister Carr, they came in that home and taught them a home Bible study. And before it was over, they were baptized in Jesus' name, had the Holy Ghost. Now God's brought her to Birmingham. She's on staff at Samford. And with the Holy Ghost, she's witnessing. They hear her in that denominational institution. They hear her talking in tongues in her office. She's talking to them about it. And this week, she sat at lunch with Governor Riley and two ex-governors. And I don't mean 150 people at the table, like seven folks at the table. She's got their ear. I'm just telling you, I'm not ashamed of this. I'm not ashamed of this. If you're not ashamed, I'll tell you what, if you're not ashamed of this, God will put you in a place where you can witness to a king. If you're not ashamed of this, God will send you somebody. Philip is having revival in Samaria. And God taps him on the shoulder and says, I'm pulling you out of this revival. I'm yanking you. Oh, God, we're just getting cranked up here. I want you to go down to Gaza, which is desert. And you see that guy in that chariot? Go and attach yourself to that guy in that chariot. So he runs. And the guy in the chariot is the treasurer of Ethiopia. He's Queen Candace's treasurer. He's a high roller. He's a man of great authority. And he's got his face in the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 53, to be specific. And Philip says, do you understand it? Philip's not ashamed of it. He's already been down to Samaria. And he wasn't ashamed of the Word of God, and he wasn't ashamed of the Samaritans. See, those two go together. Because it's your stinking ego that makes you ashamed of the Word of God, and it's your stinking ego that makes you ashamed of the Samaritans. I'll wait a little while for that to land on top of you. But he wasn't ashamed of the Word of God or the Samaritans. And when he came up alongside the chariot, he said, you understand what you're reading? This is a man of great authority. He said, I can help you out, buddy, with that Word of God. And he began to preach to him. And in a matter of minutes, there was water in the desert. I love that story. They were in a desert, but God provided water. And he stopped the chariot and he got down and he wasn't ashamed. My God. God's looking for some people that are not ashamed. You know what? If you'll fall in love with the Word of God, if you'll fall in love with the Word of God, if you'll have a relationship with the Word of God, you will not be ashamed to talk about it in the presence of your friends at school, the presence of your family that don't like it, in the presence. I'm not ashamed to talk about it in the presence of Pentecostal preachers. I don't want to talk about golf. I don't get me wrong. Play all you want. Do all you want. Have all the pastimes you want. But when I hook up with you, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about all those things. I want to know what's happening in the kingdom of God. I want to know what's going on in the Word in your life. I'm not ashamed. Somebody stand to your feet and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation. Why don't you shout just a little bit about the Word of God? I'll give you a minute. If you're glad for the Word of God, just shout about it. If you're glad for the Word of God, just shout about it. God, mighty God, worship. Praise. Praise God. You can stand or sit. We're not quite done. My target is 8:30. 46, I'll speak of your testimonies before kings and will not be ashamed. 47, I'll delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. It's my delight. You cultivate love. You cultivate love. Brother Randy, what year did you meet Sister Debbie? 1990. He remembers it. February the 6th, he met her. I was preaching. Is it love at first sight? Oh, on your part. Well, I want to break some truth to you here tonight. I know it's been a while, but there is no such thing as love at first sight. There are hormones. The lyrics from a famous 60s song come to mind, those deep, profound lyrics of the 60s. Hello, I love you. Oh, by the way, what is your name? Yeah. But as you began to spend time, you actually got to know her. And value her and esteem her and want to spend more time with her. And they were one of our first long-range courtings, so they burned up the phone lines. From Birmingham, I'd hate to know the phone bill, to Fort Payne. I'd hate to know what the phone bills were like. But you can't love somebody you don't know. You can't. It's impossible. You can say you love girls, girls. He's going to say, but I love you. But you're going to say, but you don't even know me. So you're lying and you got ulterior motives, boy. That's right. You need to keep you one of those little 10-inch baseball bats in your purse. And I mean, if he just gets close, he needs to have knots all over him. Elbows are sensitive. Elbows, noses, chins, eyebrows, painful places for a little short baseball bat. If he doesn't know you, he can't love you. If he doesn't know you, he can't love you. Okay, so how does he get to know you? Well, you have long conversations in public places with lots of people around. And if he even suggests that, well, we should go off somewhere where there's not so many people, you get the baseball bat out. Now, some of you dads need to start whittling right now. Forget the baseball bat. A piece of rebar, half-inch rebar about that long. That'd work. They probably sell stuff like that. Check with Brother Mike Landrum. He knows about lethal weapons and stuff. You get to know people by spending time and by talking to them. You can walk up and down these aisles and be in church with somebody for 5, 10 years and never know them because you never spend time with them. You can watch their lives and ascertain something about their character, but you can't know them without talking to them. Praise God. You can't know God without talking to him. You can't know him without spending time in his word. You can't delight in the word of God without time spent. But I'll tell you this, it's magical. It's powerful. The more time you spend with it, the more beautiful it becomes. The more time you spend with it, I'm just telling you, it's like a fine marriage. It's like a wonderful marriage. I love my wife. We've been married for 30 some odd years. But I love her more now than I did then because I know her better. That's right. That's right. Of course, she's more beautiful now than she was when she was just a kid, you know. Everybody say, I'll delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Now, how do you do that? How do you delight yourself? Let's stand together. We're going to have to work on this some more Wednesday night. And if we get hung up like this, we'll never finish the 119th Psalm, much less the rest of the Bible. How do you delight yourself in the Word of God? Well, you know, one of the quickest ways to wreck a relationship, just, Brother Bart, just start griping and complaining about her. Come under the influence of the fools at work that gripe and complain about their old lady. And you think, oh, that's how you do it. That's how you're supposed to do it. Come under the influence of the fools around you that gripe and complain. All you got to do is begin to open your mouth and speak negatively about someone for a little while, and your heart will begin to register negative things about that person. The heart is deceitfully wicked beyond all imagination. And it's hooked up to this. But the reverse is true. If you begin to amen the word of God, if you begin to talk about how wonderful your wife is, how sweet and precious and beautiful and kind and talented and... It's got to be your mouth. My mouth not connected to your heart. But if you begin to do, it's amazing how responsive the heart is. If you start, like the people at church, you begin to talk about folks at church and you just say, I will not exercise the negative concerning my brothers and sisters. I won't. I'll leave that up to the devil and his friends. But I'm just going to say good things about them around my supper table and with my children and while I'm at the church and when I'm off in a corner with a good friend. I'm just going to be given to saying, and you know what? The more I talk good about you, the better I feel about you. I used to think you were a jerk, but I've been saying good stuff about you. Man, I think I'm changing my mind. You're looking better to me. What is all that about when you look out on a rainy, dismal day and you say, what a beautiful day. Ah, this is the day the Lord has made. I will. What does that mean? It means that everything that God makes is beautiful. Every day that I have is beautiful. And what I've done by verbalizing that, I've come over on God's side. I've just come fully over and I've said, I agree with everything God's doing. I agree with it. And I love what God's doing. I delight myself. Just check this out, girls. And when you're trying to get really frou-frou'd up for church and it's not working good and you go, oh, instead of that, just try this. Because you have control over your spirit and your attitude. Just say, thank God for my glory. Thank God for my glory. You think I'm joking, but I'm not. Because if you'll change what comes out of here, what's down in here will change entirely. Praise God. About people, about circumstances. Let's all come down around the altar together tonight. Anybody in the house love holiness? I love. Oh, I'm glad for seven of you that love holiness. But you need to get all the way over on God's side regarding that. And nothing needs to come out of your mouth except good things about that, because that controls the gates of your heart. And you want your heart to be full of appreciation for holiness. If you're first, come on, step up on the steps there. I want you to come down to this altar, and I want you to begin to talk to God about how precious His Word is, how wonderful it is, how much you love it, that you're glad for it. I want you to start at one end and go all the way to the other. I love the holiness. I love your laws. I love your rules. I love your statutes. I love your commandments, God. I'm not going to be ashamed of them. Let me stand before a king, oh God. I'll tell them all about your Word. Mighty God, fill my mouth. Fill my heart with the Word of God. Cause me, God, to please you with the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. Cause me, God, to cause your name to be magnified. Do it in the name above every name. Do it in Jesus' name. While you're in the altar, lay your hand on somebody by you. Stand with one another. Knit together by your passion for the Word of God. Knit together by your love for the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
I magnify you,
Lord.
I worship you, Lord.
We love to think about the Lord. How you pick me up and turn me around.
How we place my feet.
You place my feet, yes you did.
On solid ground.
When I think about the Lord.
When I think about the Lord.
I love your word, oh God.
How he saved
me. I praise you,
how
mighty God. For rule, law, and statute. Command.
With the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
How we heal me.
Hallelujah. When I think about glory the Lord.
When I think about
glory
the Lord.
How you pick me up.
Praise God. Could we just begin to love him right now and magnify him? Let's just thank him for it. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your call. Thank you for your church. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you, my God.
Thank you, Jesus.
I appreciate the Church of the Living God tonight. I appreciate your response to the Word of God. I appreciate your faithfulness to the things of God. You are a blessing to be a part of. I count it an honor and a privilege to be a part of this fellowship and your responsiveness to the kingdom of God. Shake somebody around you and just tell them, we're going to get closer to the Word of God. And tell them the blessings of the Word are going to come raining down. Ah, yes they are. Clap your hands to him, lift up a voice, shout a little bit. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Praise God. There's a prayer meeting here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Come and pray down some glory, and we'll have an apostolic service here on Wednesday. And God bless you. Go out tomorrow. Don't be ashamed of the word. Let it fill your mouth. Let it fill your heart. God bless you. The meeting for the deep sea fishing trip will be another night. Brother Dan had to leave, so we'll have that another time.